I'll believe it when I see it. My mother said that about a million times to me when I was growing up. Another way of saying it is seeing is believing. And after we heard today's gospel, you might say that that is Thomas's theme song. Thomas is not someone who gets a lot of press in the Bible. In fact, he's only mentioned a few times, all of them mostly when he has something to say, it's in John. And another time that he actually has a line, he speaks, is when Lazarus dies and Jesus tells his disciples of the plan to go and see Lazarus, and Thomas says, "Let us also go with him that we may die with him." And that's taken to mean that Thomas is very loyal to his Lord and he's willing to follow Jesus even to death. But we don't ever hear about that part of Thomas. We only hear about doubting Thomas. But if you look at the scripture a few lines earlier, Mary has just come to the disciples and she's told them all that Jesus is alive. And so what are they doing? They're sitting in a room with the doors shut or locked. It's the same, the word has the same meaning. And they're keeping this vigil of fear. They're not out partying or having a good time or out looking for Jesus. They're just sitting in a room. So we could call the disciples the doubting disciples. But no, we don't do that. We call Thomas doubting Thomas. Even though the disciples doubted before Thomas did. And so we know what happens. The disciples all see Jesus and then they tell Thomas. And what does Thomas say? He doesn't just doubt. He refuses to believe. He says, unless I see the nail prints and I put my fingers in them and unless I put my hand in his side, I will not, underline, bold, italicize, will not ever, ever believe. And do you blame him? I mean, people don't want to be made a fool of. If I might quote a famous movie from a few years back, Thomas doesn't want to be bamboozled. He doesn't want to be led down the primrose path. He doesn't want to be conned or duped. He doesn't want to be hoodwinked. He doesn't want to have the wool pulled over his eyes. He doesn't want to be taken for a ride, railroaded. That's from the Polar Express, by the way. And I've only been a priest a little less than a year. And at my job at the lower school, all of the kids think that because I'm a priest and because I'm an adult, that somehow I have superpowers, that somehow I'm omniscient. But I can assure you I am not. And if somebody comes to me and tells me something that defies the laws of gravity or science or seems absolutely outrageous or incredible in some other way, I'm not going to believe them. And you're probably not going to either. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. To be human is to doubt. To be human even is not to believe. We can't blame Thomas a whole lot. If I might take another little snippet from the Polar Express, there's a scene where the hero boy, the main character of the movie, and if you've seen it, you know, he's talking to the conductor, and despite the fact that there's this train that has appeared in his front yard where there's no train and no tracks and no way for a train to be there in the middle of the night, and this kid is on the train, and he's talking to other people, and he's had hot chocolate and all this great stuff, he's talking to the conductor, and the conductor tells him a story about how he almost fell off the train. And the conductor says, yeah, I was about to fall, and I reached out for a handhold, and I missed it. And the conductor was headed for certain death, except for someone or something hauled him up and pushed him back up on the train. And the little boy gets really excited, and he says, "What? Did you see him? Do you know what he looked like?" And the conductor says, "No, sir." But seeing is believing. And sometimes, it's the things that are the most real in this world that you can't see. Seeing is believing. just ask Thomas. But there were a whole bunch of disciples in Jesus' time, a whole bunch of followers, a whole bunch of people who never saw him alive. And they believed. And there were people who came after that for generations until Christianity became a dominant religion, and they believed. And you're here. You're sitting in these pews for a reason. You believed. Something happened to you to bring you to belief. What was it? I've heard lots and lots of stories in my many years as a Christian, and some of them are as simple as, you know, I hear a still, small voice. One person says they can see the Eucharist confected. I believe them. Someone sees visions. They don't want them. They don't ask for them. They're powerful and they're emotional. They can't be controlled of things that are going to happen. They believe. One person told me this story of how he was having an operation and he could see himself, on one of those where you can see yourself on the operating table and you're up above and somebody says to you, do you want to go on or do you want to go back? Of course, he went back. He was telling me the story. Something brought you here. We're not given everything that we might believe. Most of us aren't given what Thomas was given, but we're given something. We're given something that brings us to belief. Maybe you're sitting here and you're doubting. Or maybe you're like the little boy in the Polar Express and you want to believe. I think that Jesus, in those instances, takes us and gives us something. And my prayer for you is that Jesus will take something and give you something that will allow you to hang on to believe. So that you can say, with all of Jesus' other followers and Thomas, my Lord and my God.